people, welcome to Are You Okay Podcast. I created this podcast because I want to have my own voice and hopefully to inspire you to have yours too. So today we're going to talk about something really special. And before going to that topic, I would love to introduce to you guys one of my good friends is here. Diana Danielle. Hi.
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 How are you
today?
I mean, successful, woke up slaying. I'm good, thanks.
So, Didi, how are you today?
I answered successful, woke up, slayed, still slaying. Okay. I woke up tired.
okay. So, thank you so much for doing this. I think me and my team, our team actually, wanted to invite you for this podcast because we want to talk about something about mental awareness, mental illness, and
all for it.
How should people be putting more focus and attention towards it?
Mm-hmm.
And I've known Didi for quite some time, and
I think that's all we normally talk about anyway.
Mental health,
like how we are, our situation,
yes,
and mentally, physically, emotionally, you know.
Mm-hmm,
like, yeah,
mm-hmm.
It's always just, that's the center.
When we're on set, when we're like in front of people, in the public, things like that.
Yeah.
So from what I know, because right before I know you actually, before we got to work together, I heard so much about you.
I'm sure.
Like from the makeup artists, like, you know, the
Shoot.
Big land team.
Oh God, not sketchy.
Been telling me, like, Didi can never stop talking.
Yeah.
Like she's like hyperactive. I'm like, really? Like you are the completely opposite person. Like you have the complete opposite personality than me.
Yeah.
Like
you looked happy in your Instagram.
I mean, it's Instagram. And you look happy in your Instagram too.
But I'm always not bothered by like your sort of low energy vibe. It's a vibe, you know. I'm not saying you're low energy. I'm just saying I'm high energy vibe and you're low energy vibe. But I think like we meet in the middle and I love to annoy you. That's just my goal.
And the fun thing is we know how to respect each other's boundaries.
Like, that's why you invited me to Bali.
Okay. We share the same manager. So before she knew that we have to like film She Was Pretty together, she was like, she warned me like, you know, like Didi is a bit like hyperactive, and I mean, like if you want to stay away, just go away,
just walk away,
And I'm like, okay. But when I see her, you know, like she's like clingy, she's super nice, super friendly, she talk all the time. But when I noticed some of the time she just wanted to be alone, like out of a sudden she just switches her mood and like nobody talks to me. I'm done. I'm tired. Like, I want to get away from everything. Then she, like, created her own space with, like, her pillows and stuff at the corner, reading her script
and
stuff.
We call it my little apartment, remember?
Yes.
Yeah, it was my Manhattan apartment.
Only you have it.
Yeah.
So then only I found out Didi actually has a condition, which is ADHD.
Mm-hmm.
So for those who doesn't know what ADHD stand, it's called Attention Deficit Hyperactivity Disorder.
Yeah.
So can let me know like how did you find out that you have this condition?
So when I was younger, I used to only be able to play with the boys or like girls who were high energy that could match mine. If not, I would have looked to become, I was looked as a bit too rough, a bit too loud, or a bit too much.
Mm-hmm.
And I was always slightly easily more frustrated than other kids because with ADHD, you have a smaller cup. So like a normal person would have like a normal size cup that, you know, and you pour water or you pour emotions in it and it takes a while for it to overflow.
Mm-hmm.
But as a child, I always felt more like my emotions were more intense generally. My outbursts were more intense as well. And I always thought that I had to fix something about myself. Growing up, it was always that I didn't know that I was overwhelmed. I was out of touch with my emotions and I didn't know what to do with my emotions. And it wasn't something that parents at that time, I think, were aware. Mm-hmm. They were maybe aware, but there were not many outlets. So I was always looked as someone who was distracted, especially in school, distracted, uninterested, lazy, and uncompromising. But at the same time, I felt that that was not who I was trying to be or project. But that's what ADHD is. It's very hard for you to focus for a prolonged period of time. So you have to break it up into sometimes I'm listening, but I'm not there anymore. And then once the attention comes back, then I can sort of like bring my focus back. But it's something that I can't control. Mm-hmm. But I found out about it as when the internet was more available. Mm-hmm. So I think it was like the late 2000s, maybe around 2008, 2009, where the internet was available, but Google or, you know, those like worldwide searches. Yahoos and all that stuff were more accessible. Mm-hmm. So then I kind of put in my symptoms or whatever I know of mm-hmm. my symptoms. And then a few things came up, like bipolar and ADHD and some other, I think it was Asperger's mm-hmm. syndrome. So then I was like, okay, where do I fit in this mold? And I literally had to figure it all out on my own. And so I believed I had ADHD since I kind of searched it on my own when I was a teenager. Mm-hmm. So I was able to sort of understand myself, but I didn't know if it was correct. Mm-hmm. I kind of still went, is it Asperger's? Is it bipolar? Is it ADHD? Or is it just genetics, you know?
I mean, like when you found out, okay, this might be the possibilities of you having this, like, you know,
there's some kind of disorder happening. Yeah.
So what were you feeling that time? Like, you know, like this is happening to me, like I might be having one of these. Mm. Like, how do you cope with it? Like, did you ask somebody to help you, or did you like try?
I think it was very internal, and I was internalizing as well as trying to find each day, trying to figure myself out better in mm-hmm. order to manage myself better. So it was self-discovery of your own personality and what makes you tick. Mm-hmm. So it wasn't really about medicating myself yet, but it was to understand myself. Okay. So for the next couple of years after that, it was just understanding what I am and what makes me. And then slowly I started to do more research on how nutrition and exercise and sleep affects me. Mm-hmm. And then I finally found the courage to diagnose myself after realizing that I have too many projects at hand, too many responsibilities at hand to ignore mm-hmm. my condition. If I need to succeed, if I want to succeed, I need to get diagnosed and I need to get myself more support.
Yep. So like, did you went for a professional?
I became a mom already, you know. It was actually just, I think it was last year or it was end of 2020.
Okay.
Yeah. But for myself, having the right doctor was the most important thing out of everything else, because he has for me the tools, you know, to go for therapy, to give me the right motivation and to give me the right direction. If I couldn't find it from my partner, I found it in my doctor. And I'm not blaming people for not understanding and not really, really get it. Mm-hmm. And it's fine. You can't, because then I think like you're setting yourself up for more disappointment when you're expecting people to understand.
Yeah, that one I agree. It's just like us as a celebrity.
Yeah,
people often have the assumption of thinking that we are always happy, we are really rich, and then we can afford a lot of things. And
I love the really rich part.
No problems.
Yeah,
like people just assume like, okay, you're famous, so you get everything you wanted. So like you must,
and also like you can't complain because you're so. You have it so good.
Pampered.
Yeah.
People think that we are protected all the time.
Yeah.
But which is not true.
Yeah.
Most of the time we are just dealing it differently. Like for myself, I don't always share things with people.
You do with me.
Well, not all of them. So like I kind of shield myself after a period of time, I feel like if I share too much, like you said, we ended up just would feel a lot of disappointments.
Yeah.
So the thing about me is I have problem trying to like...
open up.
Open up is one thing. So when I have too much things on my mind, I don't know which one should go first.
Mm.
So as at one point, when I reach a point where I don't know what to do about it, my mind would just go...
It would snap, right?
Snap, and then everything just went blank.
Mm.
I used to have this... I wouldn't call it... Like, I don't know. Like, some of my friends say it's an anxiety attack. So the first time when I had it is when I was performing in Vietnam for the very first time. A night before... During rehearsal, I couldn't breathe.
Oh, wow.
My hand was shaking all the time. I didn't sleep the night before.
Oh, shoot.
And then when I did the rehearsal, my voice couldn't come out.
It was like a domino effect.
Yeah, even with my manager, with Kim, I couldn't even speak to them.
Shoot.
And then that was the very first time I feel scared. Like I felt like I was dying. And then, but at the end... Thank God I managed to put it off. And then the second time was last year. I was just hanging out with a few friends. And then out of a sudden, I couldn't stop doing this gesture. And then I couldn't sit still. I couldn't sit still. I keep on walking back and forth.
And this was where?
This was last year. We were hanging out in one of my friend's hotel rooms.
Okay.
And then... I don't know what happened. I couldn't stop. My friend tried to set me down and then I said, don't touch me. I don't know what's happening. Just give me a few moments. I'll be fine. And then they kept asking me to drink water.
Right.
And then I started tearing.
Yeah.
And then I don't know what happened.
Yeah.
And then when I talked to some of my friends who happens to be a doctor, they said, you might want to get yourself diagnosed.
Mm.
So I tell myself like, I'm going to... give it a little bit of time.
Mm.
If let's say this happens again, I'm going to go for professional help.
Right.
Well, like part of me feel like I shouldn't have this or like I don't think I have this.
Okay.
But...
It's not fair that I have it or I don't think I have it?
I don't think I have it. And then I think, I might be in denial, but if... this happened again, I might want to get myself checked because I don't want to cause trouble. I don't want this to occur when I'm at work.
I think the best thing about going to check is just knowing what's up. And knowing what's going on kind of eliminates some of that fear because then you have an action plan and the doctors can also help give you certain ways when that happens, how to deal. And it gives you a bit more... skill, you know, especially when we are always in different environments, right? And it's like very confronting to be like with a different crowd all the time, with new people and with the cameras and feeling so exposed.
Mm-hmm.
That actually naturally builds up a lot of anxiety, even for the most normal person.
Yeah.
Right? So, and when you are a bit more sensitive as a person, you tend to then become a bit more anxious than others. So to me, the only way was to get diagnosed only because I needed more skill.
Mm-hmm.
And to repeat myself, what I meant was if I wanted to become more successful or to maintain whatever that I'm doing with a healthy mindset and with a growth mindset, I needed to figure myself out.
Yeah.
It's like you have like a machine that is kind of clogged or it's not in its most optimum capacity, what do you do? You don't keep pushing it.
Yeah.
You need to kind of get someone in, fix it, see what's going on, maybe put some oil in it for it to keep running.
Mm-hmm.
So that was just how I technically view it. I never view it as something that is like less empowering or it makes me feel less of a person.
Mm-hmm.
But it's like, okay, everybody comes with a different set of things that they have to work out, right? You may be perfect, but then you have bad luck, right? Or like you may have all these different like mental issues, yet you have great luck.
Yeah.
But it's just trying to figure yourself out along the way.
That's one of the things I want to do. This is one of the things why I want to do this podcast because I want to normalize to talk about these conditions.
Mm.
Because I think part of me, because I'm from a very conservative family.
Yeah.
Like my parents feels like kids shouldn't have problems, you know, like maybe they are also actually one of the people feel like celebrities shouldn't have problems.
Right, right.
We have everything being taken care of.
Right.
And then it's hard for me to talk to them because
you're loved, you're adored,
yeah,
everybody's at the, yeah, your beck and call sort of,
yeah,
thing.
So one of the reasons why I would want to do this podcast is because I want people to know that it's okay to be not okay.
Yeah.
You know, like we are not perfect. Like even though what we show on Instagram is all like positive stuff. It's like happy life, happy wife, happy husband, whatever. But we are all just human, you know.
Sometimes, of course, everybody wants to project themselves as best as possible.
Yes.
Yeah.
But if you're not okay, it's okay to ask for help. I mean, if you're not strong enough or brave enough, don't feel ashamed to, like, you know, seek for professional help or talk to one of the friends or like your family members who you feel like they would or might understand you.
Yeah.
So the thing about the younger generation is what I feel like they want to be on trend. So like I've seen a lot of people posted on TikToks and stuff like that saying they have mental illness to use it as an excuse.
Right.
Not to work.
Right.
So this is one of the reasons why I don't want to get myself diagnosed. Because, like, you know, I might be one of them. Like, you know, if something doesn't go right.
Right.
I mean, maybe because I have this condition.
Right.
Then I would just give up. I would just, like, I won't work harder. Maybe. I don't know.
Right.
Because
right.
I think too much, right?
Right.
But then again, so it's trying to find a balance between, like, normalizing mental illness, mental awareness, and also commercializing mental illness.
Right.
Because some people might find, oh, if I have it, it's cool.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, you know, like this is the trend. Like
whenever people have this conversation, I'm out of here. Because to me, I never focus on the people who fake it.
Mm-hmm.
There are so many people out there who actually need help.
Yes.
Who actually need it.
Yes.
And why pay more attention to people who are trying to get clout?
Yes.
That, like, because when I first came out on Instagram and I was crying, asking for help because I didn't know, again, what the anxiety symptoms were.
Mm-hmm.
And I was facing them because I was racing. And racing causes a lot of anxiety, a lot of things going on to your mind, you know? So I snapped and I just couldn't breathe for 4 days. And I went to the ER. They told me, like, we don't know what to do with you. So I didn't get referrals to anywhere else. So I felt like that was a dead end.
Mm-hmm.
And am I supposed to be out of breath for the next, I don't know, 2 years until I get some help? So I took a video, posted it up. I think 80% were very helpful and 20% said I was fake.
Mm-hmm.
And the human mind is always going to pay attention on the negative.
Yeah.
But I decided, listen, I'm not going to entertain if people are going to say that I'm just doing this for clout because I really needed it.
Yep.
And then when I shifted my focus, I was able to, you know, silently spread news and help a lot of people along the way who needed it.
Yeah.
So then again, people will do what they want to do and everybody's going to jump on a trend, you know, regardless.
Sadly.
Yeah, we can't control it, but we cannot ignore the amount of people, amount of girls, young boys, you know, moms and dads, and even people who are, you know, who are of golden age, you know, who've finally come to terms that after so many years, they grew up traumatized and they have all these disorders coming out. You know, I have people who are like 70, 80, realizing that all this while they had been on trauma mode, right? And I choose to focus on people who really needed
help.
Yeah. And that's why we're here today too.
Yes.
Yeah.
And also if you're one of the people who likes to be on trend, please don't do that because you might affect the people who really needed help.
Because this is a medical thing.
Yeah.
This is not a fashion beauty thing. This is not something that you play around with. There are certain things that there's a limit to.
Yeah.
And because it's a medical thing, I think that it's unfair if you're faking it because then people are just not going to take it as seriously. It's like everybody faking cancer.
Mm-hmm.
And then what? Right?
Yeah. At the end of the day, people are going to find out anyways.
Yeah.
So don't try to chase for temporary clouds. It's not going to help you anywhere.
Yeah.
So And I realized, you know, like nowadays, why a lot more people have mental issues is because like the younger generation, or for instance, like us, mm-hmm. after we can access to internet and stuff, mm-hmm. we sort of know how to voice out, know how, where to seek for help. What's happening?
I was going to button my...
Okay.
Sorry. Yes. Can you please
continue? Yeah. Okay. So I realize nowadays people are more, like more people are diagnosed with mental issues, mental illness, like depression, like anxiety and, you know, like ADHD and et cetera.
Yeah.
It's because our generation is the generation where we get access to internet and stuff.
Yeah.
And we read stuff and we know, we sort of like the in-between the younger generations and the older generations.
I would call this the woke generation.
The woke generation?
The woke,
I like that.
Generation. Woke.
So you know how our parents are not, they are in denial?
It was a taboo thing because people had very little information back then that mm-hmm. if there's something wrong with you, you're just crazy. And if there's something wrong with you, then it's not treatable.
Yeah.
And it's also, you get shunned because there's just not enough, you know, information. There's not enough outlet mm-hmm. and there's not enough professionals as well. So there's all that taboo that goes on with it as well. It's like, okay, off to Tanjung Rambutan you go.
Yeah, that's what I offer. It's just like, you know, shut the fuck up. you have nothing wrong with you. Just go to school.
That's true.
Yeah.
Like, toughen up, bro.
So we talk about our parents, like my parents, because I find it's hard for me to talk to my parents, like they don't understand.
Yeah.
And I feel like there's no other way I can tell them how I feel, or if anything were to go wrong with me,
yeah,
I don't know where to seek for help.
Yeah.
You know, thankfully back in school, I have this like teacher from the counseling group. She noticed me because I was very quiet when I was a kid.
Mm.
Ever since I was a kid, even until now. I got better now. I was way more quieter when I was a kid. And then she saw me crying in the hallway during lunch break. Because I feel like I can't make friends.
Oh
no, no, the thing about me
is, so many friends. You want some?
I want real friends who truly
Excuse
understand.
Excuse me.
You sure you have a lot of friends?
I have a lot of them. I have the friends and then I have the really close friends.
Oh, just like your PAs.
About me. Yes, but going back to that one teacher that was empathetic and sensitive enough that she could feel.
You know, the funny thing is she was only an intern.
Wow.
Yeah. And then like she found me and then she said like, do you want to talk?
Aww.
But I shoo her away. Like, aww. Get the fuck out of here.
I'm sure you were kind of in it, like you were just not used to people saying, do you want to talk, right?
Yeah, probably because I don't know how to talk to people. Like I don't know whether they are sincerely want to help me or they're trying to use me for something. I don't know.
Yeah.
So like I rejected her a few times, but thankfully for her, keep trying to like approach me.
She was good.
And then I'm like, then I told all my problems about my family and about my upbringing and then about the situation that I'm having. And so long story short, I was struggling with financial stuff. Mm. So I couldn't even afford to buy like my stationery.
Aww.
And then I was in one of the top classes in school. And then all my friends are like bringing new pencil box, like new textbook. Whenever the teacher asks us to buy some new painters or brushes, then
it's like
they got
nothing
it
for them, right?
And then I struggled so much just to get like one or like two. I have to borrow my friends. And then I used to carpool with my friends to school. And then on one of the days, one of the parents said like, you guys shouldn't be friends with him.
Oh my
he's
God.
He's poor and his neighborhood is like, traffic's really bad.
Whose mama was that?
And then the funny thing is the mom is a high school teacher. I was in primary school. And then ever since then, I said, no, hey, I'm just going to take the school bus to school.
Wow.
So like I was really struggling and like with her help, I got better because I have a way out.
No wonder you're, even right now, as an adult, you're so frugal. Like, you're very careful with your money, and I understand now.
Mm-hmm. Like, for me, money is everything.
Yeah.
Like,
oh, me too.
Like, no money, no talk.
Yeah. Yeah.
So,
but I like to, like, spend, you know?
So what I want to point out is, like, you know, like, now a lot of schools, they have, like, the counseling part. You know, they have this, like, community where you can go and talk to people. It's not like psychiatrist treatment, like where you get therapy and stuff, but at least you have
there's
a way
an outlet.
Out. Yeah, there's an outlet for you to be yourself. You know, you can cry it out. You can, you know, like talk to somebody.
I think it's a lot more detrimental for kids because they're in the developing years. Mm-hmm. You know, they're in their development years where their brain is still growing, the neurons are still connecting. And when all these things happen, it almost then makes up the whole human being. After a certain stage, then it's set. Like, that's why I think trauma during childhood is always often under-addressed, because people always think that children are so resilient. You know, children are, they don't know anything. They don't understand. It's okay. And they kind of downplay it. Mm-hmm. But if you kind of remember when you were kids, actually it's the opposite. You feel more. You actually are more in tune with the sort of non-verbal body language.
Yeah, you absorb more.
You may not understand completely, but you know what's up.
Yeah, yeah. You know what's happening.
You know what's up.
So, speaking of that, actually, there are actually two types of the conditions being developed. One is genetics, if I'm not wrong.
Yeah.
And then another one is because of the upbringing and the situation that's happening around you.
Absolutely.
And when I was talking about the people faking it to get on a trend.
Right.
There are also people like me who is trying to figure it out.
Yeah.
So we looked online and then, I mean, one of the ways is actually talk to the professionals, and the other way is actually, you know, like find the right community to talk about
Correct.
It.
Correct. Because I was figuring it out for 10 years before I actually went to get diagnosed, you know? So I think sometimes it's a slow process for certain people, and sometimes it's a long process. So for me, figuring out what I had was one thing, and then going to diagnose is another thing. But and then it's like, where, with whom do I have the finances to?
Yeah.
Right. And then it's like the financial thing. And then if you go government, the waiting list is like 3-4 months, which sometimes makes you feel like I can't wait that long.
Yeah.
Especially people who are more sensitive and who are suicidal.
Yes.
They need the attention right now,
instant
but they may
help.
Not need them. They may not have the money. So it's a lot more complicated. And that's why I feel also that certain people are boxed into the fake category when they're literally lost.
Yeah. So if you're trying to figure it out, maybe just try to find the right community to talk about it. And then if let's say you can afford to get diagnosed, go do it. And if you can't, and you feel like me, maybe you feel like you don't want to get diagnosed, but at the same time, you want to find out what's really happening to you. And then, like I said, do more research.
There
and talk
are
to more people.
Two different ways, although it might not be the most perfect circumstance. One is the medically official diagnosis, and then one is the more natural way of doing it without meds, where you look into your lifestyle and your nutrition and your sleep and your, you know, and just kind of figuring out how you feel and how to manage these things, right?
Yeah.
So I'm not saying that that's the best way, but if you don't want to get diagnosed and you don't want to be sort of with a professional, there are a lot of people who do it more naturally.
Yeah.
And it's not wrong. It's your personal decision. Nobody can force you medically to do whatever you want. Even your parents, you know, or even your spouses, they cannot tell you to do something medically without your consent.
Yes, definitely. And another point, I don't know whether it's sensitive to talk about it, but I want to talk about it because it's my podcast.
We can edit if it's too sensitive.
You know, like how we, when we go for, you know, I often heard about people that I work with talk about like, oh, we shouldn't use this person because he has this condition.
Mm.
Or like people try to like not to work with these people because they have these conditions.
Mm.
Have you had this situation before? Like you heard, like when you're working on set or whatsoever?
I have had that that situation where I didn't want to work with someone who was volatile.
Mm.
And it's okay because it overwhelms me. And why should I put myself in that position? I should defend my own well-being as well.
Yes.
And I think that my choosing not to do it doesn't take away the opportunity from the person. They just replace me. I'm not asking them to replace the person.
Yes, but the thing is, they are actually, okay, we are different. Maybe for instance, if let's say I'm just a normal person, I work 9 to 5 in the office. I sometimes don't know if I should tell the HR that I have this condition because, you know, like I don't want them not hiring me because I have this condition. Other aspect, I pass with flying colors.
Yeah.
You know, like that's some of the tricky companies, maybe they are very old school. They are like very conservative. They are very kiasu. I don't know. Mm. Like, you know, they don't want to touch these people.
For my situation, because I work with so many different people every day, I can't keep telling everyone, I have ADHD. So my approach is, let me handle it. You know, regardless of whether you know or not know, I need to be, if I want to professionally be more successful, I need to get over myself.
Yeah.
Or not over myself, manage myself better. And always kind of build my skills around how to manage my own symptoms because these are symptoms to be managed.
Yes.
That's it. And I'm not saying, I'm not downplaying it as that's it. It's not as simple. But again, because I'm not in under one institution or corporation, then I have to...
Yeah. So the first step of dealing with your conditions is actually to acknowledge it.
Yeah.
You know, like do homework and you know, you have skills to how to like resolve it when you have these situations.
It's almost as if you're learning a new sport, right? And you want to get good at it. So you need to come up with skills, right? And you need to practice those skills. Like for myself, I need to practice focus. And first I'm on medication with focus, right? I'm on Concerta, if anybody would want to know. It's Concerta is like a slow releasing pill of a 12-hour pill. I only need to take it when I have a schedule going on and I work with a big group, so I don't want to get distracted. But for ADHD, it is like the easiest symptom out of all the other mental illnesses because it's just injecting dopamine into your brain sort of thing. If I'm wrong, yeah, criticize me in the comment section. I mean, you can then give me a better view or opinion, you know, I'm open to it. But what I'm trying to say is that there's ways that you can manage it. And it's important that you acknowledge this and come up with a skill. It's also like for me, like motherhood. I don't know what a baby is before I was born. I was an only child. I know what it is.
You know how to make one.
I know how to make them. Pretty good at it. But at the same time, like, I don't know what it is. It's a new experience to me. But instead of like just giving up and not acknowledging that I have this newborn child that I need to attend to and manage every day, then I just have to keep practicing and practicing and managing myself until at least I get a good grip of it. I'm not saying that you're able to overcome it, but having a good grip of it and knowing what is overwhelming to you. That's why when I was filming, she was pretty and you said she's there and then she's not. Because I know, okay, I'm done. Like my battery is out. I'm going to go back into my little Manhattan apartment.
Manhattan.
And you know what? I don't like when I'm out on set, I'm very open and happy. When I'm in my little apartment, I don't invite people in.
Yeah.
Only you or one or two people, because then I feel like the energy is too much.
Yeah.
Because I'm already overwhelmed and I need like my space.
Yeah.
But talking about mental health, I think being a parent and struggling with mental health is, I think, one of the hardest things to manage. Because whether or not it's a good day, it's a bad day, you know, you have to manage yourself in order to be a functional parent and not to kind of disrupt the next generation with your issues.
Yeah.
So I'm always having that struggle of like, Diana, don't hurt them.
Yeah. Don't show
this
side.
This is your problem, not theirs, you know.
Because what they see is what they get. They might, you know, they might feel that this is normal for me to copy.
Yeah.
So that's a very dangerous move.
Betul.
So
that's why I got diagnosed as a parent, because I thought, listen, I'm running out of juice. I'm running out of skills, and I don't think that I am. And they're becoming teenagers, where they're going to keep challenging me more and more, and I don't want to be reactive. Again, ADHD has a smaller cup, mm-hmm. and you tend to be a bit more reactive than others. So I just didn't think it was fair.
Yeah. Yep, fair enough. So I guess we share quite a amount of information about mental illness. We sincerely hope people can be more open-minded when it comes to this and more genuine and sincere when we talk about this. And try to be in people's shoes before you judge them.
Yeah.
Because I find in this era, we like to judge and gossip before knowing the fact. You know, maybe we hear it from somebody and we like to talk about it. But
I think back then we were more community-centered, and then now we're a bit more self-centered. You know, where everything is about you and what you want and what you need. And you kind of forget that a community makes a person.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I feel that once you realize that the world does not revolve around you necessarily, and that you need community, and that the community also needs you.
Yeah.
And from there, I think then there's that progression, and open discussion is important.
Yes.
So what you're doing now is having an open discussion for people who are young and old. And I hope that this also helps to kind of help them.
Inspire them to understand.
Kind of what's the next step now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
To take the first step.
Yeah.
You know? It takes a lot of courage and bravery, but don't be afraid. You're not alone. I mean, like, we are here. Your loved ones are there for you. So, and also, Are You Okay podcast actually have such a legit hotline for mental illness. So if you feel like you want to talk to somebody and you want to ask for some help, mm-hmm. and maybe you can check it on the channel's bio.
Mm-hmm.
In the description, you can find a hotline. So just call them, talk to them. You can be anonymous, you know, yourself. So we hope this podcast really helped to inspire and also to help some people out there who are struggling. And that's it. I hope you enjoyed this episode of podcast, and we'll see you on the next one.
See ya, guys!